Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
And my own.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of Crusader Talk here on this Monday. My name is Caleb Hamill, joined by, as usual, Josh West. Dalton Stanford behind the board here on our Super Talk Hattiesburg studios. And we're glad to have you with us as we have a lot to recap, as we always do. And we have talked in the past, you know, few episodes about how great of a season that women's basketball has had, continue to have, and still have in front of them. But we have got a big milestone to talk about tonight as the regular season has come to a close. And in quite a thrilling fashion, I'd say, Josh, William Carey finishes the regular season with a big old goose egg in the L column.
I think that's the way Loyola described it. Quite a thrilling game about that tone. No, it was anything and everything. It was anything but dull. It was everything you could ever hope for in a game as a Carey fan. It was an emotional roller coaster in a sense, because nobody in Carey red and black was showing that. But if you were like me, and Coach English is with us, and if we talked to players, there were probably some thoughts that you were having to kick out of your head, and you were trying to suppress some feelings, and you were trying to look composed and stay composed and trust the process and all of those things we talk about all the time. But that game was also, I think, what in a way we expected. I'll be honest, I didn't know what to expect from that game. I had no thoughts on that game.
As your first play, or first time ever to call a game in that gym, too.
First time to call a game in that gym. And it's potentially can be a tough setup. There were some question marks just from a technical standpoint going into that broadcast because, you know, you're learning a new gym. You're learning what the Wi-Fi is like. You're learning where you're going to sit. You're learning, you know, is this going to hold? Is this going to work? Is the technology going to work? You know, just all of those little things. And you know just kind of the broader picture of what's riding on the line for that and how much you don't want to miss the moment if the moment happens. And so it was – the moment definitely happened.
Yeah.
And we went all on a ride together, that's for sure.
Yeah, for the first time since 2015, an SSAC women's basketball team has finished undefeated – in conference play and for William Carey in the regular season as well. Last time was Bethel, I believe it was, in 2015. It was Lee a couple years before that. None of the active SSAC teams have ever done it except for now Carey.
Well, I had you know, 18, 19, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, something like that in my head. I vocalized that on the broadcast. And then, of course, Coach English comes on after and says, hey, hadn't been done in 10 years.
Yeah, and let's hear from him about it because, yeah. Coach, you know, this has been something we've kind of avoided talking about it for a while. And I mean, it's out there in the open now, and still have the conference tournament left to go and obviously the postseason as well. But did it feel like a huge, maybe a weight is the right word? Did it feel like something was lifted off your shoulders whenever you get that 72-67 victory over Loyola in New Orleans?
Absolutely. I mean, it was like – it was the best locker room feeling I've ever had in 35 years. I mean, it was. I mean, just to go in there and see those kids excited about what they've just accomplished, it was just – I mean, the fans were awesome. I mean, we had a huge following. It just seemed like a championship battle the whole way, back and forth, and then to finish it off like we did and to go in that locker room and see those kids, it was awesome.
You know, and just kind of looking through – that matchup, the biggest thing that stands out to anybody that followed the game was that third quarter. Tell us a little bit about how we got to that point to see Addie Shearer become unguarded and to toss in Anna Rose Engel into the mix as well, and all of a sudden three-point land was Carey's land.
Yeah, well, Rose Warren went down with an ankle, and Addie comes in. Addie's done this all year long. I mean, she's had big games and big moments all year long, and she came in and she never missed a beat. She was in control of what we were doing. She handled the basketball. She handled the pressure. She was able to see the floor. mean, when she was comfortable out there and confident in her shot, and took some open shots. I can't believe they left her that way. And she just buried them. And she's kind of had that confidence the last 2 weeks, especially in practice, you know. And I've said this before with Josh. There's kids that's over there, they'd be playing other places, but they're playing behind some great players, and they don't always get that opportunity. But I promise you, when they do, they step up.
I told Josh after the game, and said they were giving Addie Shearer the Rodney Dangerfield treatment. They were giving her no respect at all.
Didn't know who she was. I mean, that's they hadn't been watching film, that's for sure.
Well, but again, there's some perspective there. I was just so thankful that I, you know, picked up on her last year at the MAIS tournament.
Sure.
And got a sense of who she was and had done some research. 2,700 points in her career. She was such a dynamic scorer. And so when they weren't guarding her, I said, yeah, I know it doesn't show up in the scouting report, but I'm not going to let a kid go unguarded after she hits two on me. She's going to have to shoot. Like, first of all, I'm not going to let her catch it easy after two in a row, much less let her shoot three in a row. They let her shoot five. In that game, two in the first half, three more in that run, right. I would have at least adjusted at halftime. But, I mean, I'm thankful that they didn't, but they will. And I would think that it's going to be either Loyola or Mobile coming out of the other bracket. If Cary's fortunate enough to put together a couple of wins and get to the championship game of the tournament, there will be adjustments made by either one of those teams.
Sure, absolutely. Both of those clubs are great basketball teams. I mean, they won a bunch of games this year. But we'll see. I mean, it's a challenge that we have, and every time we get ready to play, it's felt like that all year long. Didn't matter who it was. I mean, I've seen some teams that I didn't think were very good come in our gym or either in their gym play us like it was a national championship game. I mean, they played hard. They were effective, and sometimes it took us a while to distance ourselves, to get some space between us, but – it's been like that all year, and I think it's helped us. I mean, you know, we've met those challenges all year long, and I hope we continue to do it.
I just saw where Colton Blakeney has earned the SSAC honors of both Offensive and Defensive Player of the Week.
Right.
Just a terrific player that's been around for a couple of years now, and for her this past week, you know, obviously pretty good outing, beating Mobile and Loyola to help cap off this regular season undefeated. But what are some of the intangibles about Colton that make her so effective out there for you?
Man, she's just a calming force for us. She's always where she's supposed to be. You can count on her offensively and defensively to bring what she brings. I mean, if you back off of her, she's going to hit a mid-range jumper. If you come out on her, she's going to get by you and score. She's always moving without the ball. Defensively, she's always around the basket. She'll slide over and take a drive, or she's backside rebound. She's going to get every rebound. I mean, she had 31 and 18 against Mobile in one of the biggest games of the year.
Sure. So career high points, and then tied a career high in rebounds.
Right. She's just. I mean, so I just the you know very consistent. Probably one of the most consistent people we have.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you there.
Although she did on. You know, last Thursday against Mobile, but she's not always going to, you know, be the leading scorer or the leading rebounder, especially with Chenille in the lineup as well. But she's always going to give you what she gives you. I mean, always. You know what you're going to get.
By the way, first and only player this year that's been able to get both offensive and defensive in the same week, Josh.
I'm going to throw a question back at you.
Okay.
Do you think that's a week and two back, you know, getting both, sweeping? Do you think that's something that sweeps her into Player of the Year honors this year? Because she's certainly a Player of the Year candidate.
Yeah, she is. I think both of those kids are Player of the Year candidates. Talking about Chenille as well, the two of
sure.
them. I mean, there's kids that are averaging more points, but they're not any better players than those two kids, in my opinion. And I mean, I know I'm a little biased because I coach them, but I think they're both up for it. I mean, the voting went down today. We met for about an hour and did all that stuff. We don't know the results or anything like that, but I would say they're both up for it.
I think the toughest thing in that voting conversation is the fact that Cary's got so many players that you know, all help each other out and make the whole team look good as a whole. Obviously, Colton shines a little bit just with stats and, you know, some of those intangibles that Coach pointed out. But all in all, from an outsider's point of view looking in, I mean, you don't want to split it 5, 6, 7 ways all across this
Yeah.
team.
Yeah, there's a lot of talent there, but, you know, it just meshes. Play so well together. I mean, who has that kind of talent that plays that well together? Look, when we're playing, and you're there, Josh, Saturday in that game, where those two kids came off the bench, those kids sitting on that bench were those two kids' biggest fans. I mean, it erupted when they made those shots. And that's the way it's been all year long.
Yeah, and I want to hear a little bit more about how this team chemistry even came to be in the first place. We're talking with head coach of women's basketball, Tracy English, also athletics director at William Carey University. And when we come back, a little bit more of a conversation about this team and what's on the horizon as the SSAC tournament and national tournaments are still to come. Also want to talk about some of the inner workings of future of William Carey basketball on campus here in Hattiesburg. More to come as we continue on with Crusader Talk. Stay with us.
Listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Continuing on here on Crusader Talk, as we are blessed to have Coach Tracy English here in studio today, talking about this great women's basketball team that is undefeated in the regular season, conference play, regular season play. That's why I'm happy that we made the Southern Miss game an exhibition game. It hasn't always been that way in years gone by, but happy that one doesn't count against us. All right, that aside, I wanted to ask Coach about this team and its camaraderie, because this is a situation unlike most places as they, you know, have a new season every year. Carey basically lost one player last year in Lauren Rowley. Everybody else stuck around. You add a piece in Addie Shearer, a couple others. You get Gabby Gallup back. But all of these different players have been around each other for a while. It's kind of new for them with you holding a full-time athletic director position in addition to being women's basketball coach. So there's a little bit of nuance in there, but it's subtle. And I'll just kind of open-end this question here. How has this group bonded and gelled together now kind of in year two as a group? And has that made the biggest impact in their season?
Yeah, I think it has made a big impact. But I think a lot of it goes back – there's several things, but a lot of it goes back to we're together a lot, do things together a lot. We travel. I mean, I think that's part of the recruiting factor that we use. We go to some nice places to play. We try – you know, but we're together all the time. And I think Jessica has a lot to do with the cohesion is the fact that she does a really good job in the locker room part. She's really, really good. And the kids just – a lot of the kids are from the same type of programs, you know. We get a lot of kids from the Mississippi private schools, and so they know each other. They played with each other. And I just think, you know, it's a family-type atmosphere. Just that's all I can tell you about it. I mean, I just enjoy coaching these kids because of they're so not just great athletes and a great team, they're just good people. And that you go watch us play and the you know, it was senior night or senior day at Loyola. Our half of the stands were full. I mean,
it was 50-50 crowd.
No doubt. And the 50%, the loudest 50%, were wearing red and black. So
it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, not to put the cart before the horse, but to see where William Carey ends up playing for the postseason, because we discussed it earlier that this William Carey team is going to have to be on the road for wherever they are for the NAIA tournament. And simply put, and I'll let you kind of put it in your own words, but Cary's facility did not have certification, did not put in a bid to host. Walk us through a little bit about the backstory there.
NAI's opening rounds, four team opening rounds, and you bid for them. But before you can even bid them, you have to have your facility certified. Not that saying that ours couldn't be certified, we just never did that. We've never entertained the fact that we would host. Just never have. We do that in soccer. We do that in softball. We do that in baseball. We may very well do it in basketball in the future, but we just were. They're like 3 or 4 year deals, and we just haven't done it. So we're looking probably maybe to get it certified, and then you just see how your season's going, whether or not you want to bid or not. Bid date's later than the certification date for sure.
Gotcha. And you know, as far as NAI history and placement of teams that are one seeds that have to travel, you know, we saw it in softball. They sent Jessup from California all the way over to William Carey in Hattiesburg. Is it likely that Carey's going to have a long road trip ahead of them, or is it more likely to be more regional? Or is it just a complete unknown?
It's a complete unknown. We won't find out until March the 6th, unless we're traveling. In the past, they'll give you a phone call maybe a day ahead of time to find out if you're able to travel. And what I mean by that, if you're able to fly somewhere. So there was a situation last year where Bruton Parker had to fly. I forget where they went, but they had to fly out west somewhere, and the commissioner called me and wanted to know, have y'all heard from the national office about any flying or anything? I said, no. She said, well, one of our teams is flying. I just didn't know who it was. So that's – I mean, nobody knows. Even the commissioner didn't know at that time.
So. All right. As we look ahead, you know, William Carey gets a bye in the SSAC tournament. Actually, I'm trying to pull up the schedule and all that right now. But it's a pretty good spot to be in as a number one seed. You're playing with house money right now, as you've already locked in your spot in the national tournament. But the SSAC tournament last year was a bit of a sore spot, as y'all went one and done with Bruton Parker. Is there kind of some unfinished business mentality with the locker room?
Absolutely. We'll talk about that. We've talked about that a couple of times. We haven't until now, though. You know, we've done a good job of not looking past anything, but we really – you know, had a bad go of it last year, and want to get back there and finish some business that we weren't able to last year.
So looking at it now on Wednesday, so you bypass Wednesday, which is kind of the play-in set of games. Mm-hmm. You'll play the winner of Blue Mountain Christian and Point, and that game will commence between you and the winner of that one on Thursday the 27th at 12:30, mm-hmm. Pending on the games that happened before that. So glad y'all aren't playing at 11 o'clock at night,
right,
like Coach Knight and them were doing last year.
Right.
But just to kind of broaden the scope of it right here and kind of take the coach's hat off and put back on the athletic director's hat for a moment, these are – terrific times just overall, mm-hmm. in William Carey athletics history. I mean,
right.
Dr. Burnett and I talked about it before, that last year volleyball was the only team that had a losing record, and to see how big of a jump they made this year and to look at it from a 1,000-foot view, there aren't many programs in the country that can look at their athletics program and just see winning seasons all around. This is incredible.
Yeah, it really is. I just look back through this year. I mean, forget about what we've done in the past, but just this year with the soccers, Rhonda goes on the road with her volleyball team out to an opening round and beats one of the top teams in the country,
number 3
in their own place, and goes to the final site. Track and field, indoor track, is at a national meet right now over in Gainesville, Florida, with both men and women. So it's just, you're right, it's exciting. Our baseball team is off to a 11-3 start, and softball is what, 12-1, 13-1, something like that. I'm not sure exactly.
Just a couple runs away from still being undefeated with a 1-0 loss to Mobile.
I know. It's just incredible. We're blessed. We've got great leadership, from the top that allow us to do the things that we do. Great coaches. Great coaching. I can't harp on that enough. You go back, I mean, how many coaches we got that's been here forever? And I'm not talking about Mee Hofford and Knight. That's two forevers. But Danny Owens.
Yeah, Danny's been here a while.
I mean, you know, it's just we're it's a good place to work. You're rewarded with good leadership, you know, that allow you to do the things. We're very seldom do we have a bad situation. So, I mean, I'm happy to be in that position that I'm in. I get to oversee that.
And we can attest to the good working conditions as well, that we're not salaried employees. We definitely enjoy our contract work with y'all.
Well, sure. I remember some of the times, Caleb, you and I, just of when I was putting it together, when you and Ben brought me in, and I'm going, wait a minute, 40 years, 35 years, there's got to be something special going on here. You know, and then I started, you know, kind of realizing, oh boy, what have I just been asked to come to be a part of?
Well, and it
floored me. It humbled me.
Yeah,
it humbled me big time. And I instantly was like, this has got to be handled with care, because this is an honor. And I've told Jess that. I've told you that. I mean, it's an honor for Caleb and I and Ben and all of us, Dalton, all of us, to work with this program, because this is a special place with special people that make it that way.
I grew up out there. I mean, mm-hmm. I walked on campus in 1980 as a student athlete. Worked with Coach Knight after I graduated till 1990, and then took this position over. It's just you grow up as a human being out there. It's a great place to work and to be with friends and just to learn about the world, you know.
Well, and you said it, be with friends.
Yeah.
That's not the same everywhere.
Well, it is out there. I was talking today with some people. We're all for each other. There's not one person out there that's a head coach or even an assistant coach that's not cheering you on there. You guys saw that last, two Saturdays ago when we had Talladega there. How many people were there? Coaches were there. Everybody who was in town was there. And it's like that all the time. I mean, and we sit – the good thing about it is we all sit in the same office building all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in and out of each other's offices all day long. By the way, swim. Six or seven swimmers going to the national event this week. So
inaugural season.
What a job that guy's done, Robert Gonzalez.
Yeah, Coach Gonzalez really has hit the ground running, or hit the water swimming. I don't know what the parallel phrase is for that. But terrific stuff, Coach. We look forward to seeing what Kerry does in the SSAC tournament coming up and beyond. Thanks so much for joining us.
Sure. Appreciate it.
All right, he is Tracy English, athletics director and head women's basketball coach. When we come back, Josh and I will recap the week, a little bit of baseball conversation, and a whole lot more. But a busy week in athletics, so stay with us.
Tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
A good time, as always, with Coach Tracy English here on Crusader Talk. Man, we could have gone forever with that one. I mean, it's just everything. I mean, even life. We could have a whole section about, and I'm not talking about the university, you know what I mean. Just about life and activities, family, everything. And, you know, Josh, one of the things you were talking about was your early time and kind of entering this William Carey fold, if you will, and how he really didn't know what you were getting yourself into. He was just, you know, the other university in Hattiesburg, and just,
sure.
But you saw the background of it, and yet after the game on Saturday, you and I are talking on the phone about the chills and how absolutely roped in and borderline emotional it was for you to call that game.
No, it was. I mean, I was a mess because I wanted it so bad for them. And, you know, you're a part of special groups of people. But Coach talks about all the time about how much that group of ladies loves each other. I've never been around a group like them. I've called a lot of years of college basketball, but there's not been a group like them. That, again, it's so cohesive It's such the team first mentality. The first time that anything was mentioned about record for the entire season was after that game. Kevin Rosary, I would refer to it the last couple of weeks as in pregame and postgame with players as this team continues to stack wins or continues this momentum, or I would word it in a certain way, almost like when you're tiptoeing around a no-hitter.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. that's how we would, that I would refer to things like that out of respect for Coach English, who's listening now. And so I could talk, you know, I could talk to it off the air with Jess and we could laugh about it. But it was never discussed with the players. And so to be a part of that and to see it all play out the way it did was just truly, truly remarkable. And, you know, to know you're a part of something that there's no guarantee in the slightest bit that it ever happens again.
No,
that's, I mean, that is remarkable, which I guess even puts in more crazy perspective what women's soccer at Cary does almost on an annual basis. They're there or almost there almost every regular season. They are ridiculously talented. They've gotten that program built up so far ahead of the rest of the entire NAIA. To some degree, but where it's so competitive in basketball, and in particular in women's basketball, there's a lot of parity in women's basketball. You don't see that in a Division I level, but you see it in this league, and even the Southern States. It was simply fantastic.
Well, and I akin it to, and you know, pardon me for relating it back to Mississippi State for a moment, but when I was going through college, I went through the Vic Schaefer era of when they, in 1 year, went to maybe the second round or Sweet 16 and got absolutely demolished by UConn and an embarrassment, and then come back the following year in 2017 and just game after game, it would be close and they would gut it out all the way to the Final Four where they defeat UConn to make it to the championship game. It's incredible how having a cohesive unit can impact a ball game or impact a team and their ball games as they go into the postseason. And to bounce off what you're saying about holding your cards close to your chest about record and all that, the reason we can talk about it now is because it is postseason time. Everybody's 0-0.
And every game matters. Every game's a must win at this point.
Yes. Back then, you know, regular season, you could have, you know, just cruised after you won the regular season conference, you know, crown, and then, you know, come up and lose two to Mobile and Loyola and still been in the same spot you are for the SSAC tournament. A little less of a good record for the national seeding, but they didn't let that happen. They carried the torch on through each and every game, even through a 72-67 or whatever the final score was there, win over Loyola, and they're in a good spot in the SSAC tournament as well. Now, and keeping that vein about basketball, one team that did not have as good of an outing for the week of athletics was men's basketball. They did get some quality opponents out there on the hardwood, but come up empty-handed in their meetings against Mobile and Loyola. And Josh, that game against Mobile, I should say, was one where, I mean, it was back and forth right there to the final horn, and you can kind of elaborate on how those final seconds transpired, but Cary had a chance to take a lead. Mobile gets the ball back with the shot clock dark. And on a drive inside, one of their players is fouled, scores both the free throws, and then Cary lofts up a three at the horn, and it just pops in and out. Did I get it about right?
You did get it right, but that three wouldn't have counted. There was 1.6 seconds left. We got a little late on the horn. You heard the horn on the dribble, right?
Well, see, now...
Or did the actual scoreboard stick? Maybe?
So nobody really can tell from the stream because audio and video aren't always synced. And just to let everybody at home hear a peek behind a curtain here, the way this is set up, and this is more than you bargained for, is there's a web-based camera that is networked in our facility, and in order for it to get to the computer, it has to go through all the different buffering channels within the school before it hits that computer. So it's about a 2-second delay before it reaches that computer.
So
that Josh's audio is completely live, and they can delay his audio to try to sync it up as best they can, but it's not always just perfect. And so I saw him take a dribble whenever the horn went off, but in all actuality, your audio was ahead of my video.
Yes, and so you're looking at a situation where you 1 second is enough to catch and shoot. That's it, 1 second. So you can't have one player catch it, pass to another, they take a dribble, and then shoot in 1.6 seconds.
That's
it's impossible.
Seconds.
And if it had gone, there's no replay there.
No.
It would have been a disaster. It would have been an absolute disaster.
Mobile would have
caused
a scene.
The coach, after the fact, the coach looked over at the scores table and just kind of chuckled a little bit because you could laugh about it now. There's no need to, go on about it at that point.
Was Petey on the clock again?
Yeah, but I don't know. Look, we've had some issues.
Yeah, we have.
We've had some issues with the shot clock.
I literally talked about that today with somebody.
So, those will all be addressed in due time. And it has gotten better over the last few weeks. They already made some adjustments. But back to that, the foul call that led up to the two free throws with 1.6, you can't call that. You can't call a touch foul with 1.6 seconds left in a tie game. You've got to let those two rivals go to overtime. So it should have never gotten there. That's something that I made a comment to Coach Knight along the lines of, hey, if there's no blood, there's no foul in that situation, right? And he even agreed to that on the post game, which is very rare.
And normally he tries to dance around.
Right, you try to dance around that.
As you should as a head coach, I get it.
Sure, and he didn't harp on it. He didn't make, a drawn-out thing. But what you don't ever want to do is to let one game beat you twice. But in this case, that was easier said than done. That game took so much out of that team. Earlier in the week, Dylan had gotten the ankle rehabbed. Gotten the ankle rehabbed, tweaked it again on Tuesday, tweaks it again against Mobile. It's going to be one of those nagging, recurring things now. It was good on Saturday, which is good. But you just got a bunch of guys that are beat up and banged up, and Mobile is, to me, there's no question they're the most talented team in the league. But then you got Life and Loyola. You've got so many teams from an athleticism standpoint that are just right there behind them. And so Cary, just player for player lining up, they may only be the seventh or eighth team in the league in terms of just line up the guys in a line and put one player in front of another player and everybody look nose to nose. Cary might be the eighth or ninth team in that league. But what you have at Cary is you got a bunch of tough, hard nose, cohesive, tons of grit, basketball knowledge, winners. They just know how to play the game. They know how to win. They expect to win. So they don't know that they're a little undersized, that, Cam Brown doesn't know that he's a little, underweight, so to speak. He's a slender fella. They're going up against some physical teams like a Mobile that walks out and looks like a Division I team that took it to South Alabama last year. And that's a very similar team. So you know exactly what I'm talking about, Caleb. Mobile with McKenna and that group are a very impressive team.
They are. They are. And the other thing I would think, too, about how losing that game against Mobile on Thursday kind of influenced Saturday as well is that you and I talked about it on the podcast Monday. The big objective was if you can finish with two wins, then you win the SSAC West. All of a sudden, they drop the one to Mobile. Mobile wins the SSAC West. Then it's just kind of like, well, what are we really playing for at this point? It's just kind of two or three, and Faulkner's likely going to get the two. So the purpose in play, which I don't even know if the players knew all those formulas or not, but it felt like, well, we lost that one. Let's just kind of cruise to the SSAC tournament.
Yeah, so I think that right now, what Cary would be looking at is a situation. I don't know how the bracket fully shapes up. Is Dalton State on Cary's side of the bracket?
Opposite side.
Opposite side. So that's good.
Yes, very good.
Because Cary can win two and get to the championship and punch their ticket.
Yes. So if and that brings up a good point. The two automatic qualifiers are regular season champion and conference tournament champion. as long as they are not the same team. If they are the same team, then it automatically goes to the conference tournament runner-up. So Dalton State wins the regular season crown. Whoever faces them in the tournament title would get the other bid, if they make it all the way. That's the big if.
Also, you know, after the ball game, Coach Burt and I were talking, and I think that there were some of us that wanted to be more upset or frustrated or disappointed. And we left that Mobile game, and we didn't feel that way. Mm. And so I made the comment to Coach Burt. I said, Coach, it feels like that Mobile this year is a team that if you're only going to beat them once, you want to beat them in the tournament. That's a really, really, really good Mobile team. So for Mobile to be 19 in the RPI, Life sitting at 23, for Cary to get to, they've slipped to 40. Cary has slipped to 40. For them to get to the tournament, get that second automatic bid, they're going to have to go through two top 25 teams to do it. And honestly, two teams that are already in the tournament field, in my opinion. So it's going to be a tall task, but one that they can do.
Yeah, and momentum through tournaments oftentimes can carry on into a national tournament as well. You see that in baseball. You see it in basketball, too. Well, got to recap a little bit of softball and baseball when we come back. A big weekend series sweep for the Diamond Crusaders of William Cary. That and more in an interview with Preston Ratliff coming up as we wrap up Crusader Talk.
Talking everything William Cary University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, kind of buried the lead about some of the other sports as softball and baseball both had decent weekends. Softball had a couple of games against Mobile. One was a come-from-behind win, the other one they lost 1-0. But that outing was good for softball. Baseball finally got that sweep they were looking for against a conference opponent, no less, in Middle Georgia State, team that's going to be in Division II of the NCAA next year. At least that's what all signs are pointing to right now. But not only a three-game sweep, Josh, but three walk-offs of varying degrees. You had a bottom-of-the-10th bases-loaded walk in a game that originally was supposed to be seven innings that went 10. Andrew Shira and Luke Lissette both pitched gems, or at least long outings. Luke Lissette definitely pitched a gem as he got the win in that one. But then you flip the card to Matthew Davis, who had a long outing. He ends up not getting the win when Preston Ratliff comes in to relieve him in, I believe it was that last inning of the what became a seven-inning game. And though Preston blows the save, he does eventually pick up the win as a pitcher because he also had the game-winning base hit at the end of that one. So Cary goes 2-0 through the first two games. And on the last game, Cary's trailing, 1-0. You know, it's just been hard to get guys in. They've left runners in scoring position left and right. I think they had three runners left at third base through four innings. I mean, it was just tough to watch at times. Then the sixth inning happened. Cary scores 9. They send 13 guys to the plate. 9 runs scored. Even had pinch hit guys that got on base and scored. I mean, it was incredible as Cary eventually wins it in run rule walk-off fashion by a score of 12-2. And I talked to one of the guys that was pivotal in that game, Preston Ratliff, who hit the run rule walk-off hit in the 12-2 game. I may have mixed up how the walk-offs happened there, but he definitely had the last hit that won it in walk-off fashion. And here's what it was like talking to him after that game on Saturday. All right, Preston, great weekend for Cary. Get a couple walk-off hits, one of those a run rule, but a big one last night. Pretty good weekend. I think the final total was 5-for-12 in the batting regard, and then you also get the win as a pitcher last night. How about it on the weekend?
I mean, I was just taking it pitch by pitch. You know, we had to keep the energy up the whole game. Our shortstop has been a great leader for us, Billy Thomas. Huge shout-out to him. You know, he's always on us, you know, pitch after pitch, keeping the energy up, making sure we're focused and locked in every single pitch. And that's not only helped me, but a bunch of other people out as well. And I think that's what fueled us this weekend and what helped us a bunch.
Yeah, this is your year where you come back and play again, but now you're kind of starting at first base a little bit more. You were mainly a DH and pitcher last year. What's that transition been like?
It's been fun. There's not a whole lot to think about now. I've learned a lot in these past couple months, not only from the infielders this year, but infielders last year as well. Jake Lysette was a first baseman last year, and he helped me a lot. Even when I was just taking reps for fun in BP last year, it was just a big learning experience for me, but it wasn't that hard of a transition as well. I've always been somewhere in the field, and I think it's a lot of fun. So,
and Kerry, this year it's been kind of a hill to climb to try to get past Game 3 to try to get that win. Mm-hmm. You finally get it this weekend in big fashion, 12-2. Mm-hmm. Talk through us that sixth inning with 9 runs scored as Kerry took the lead and were able to get it done today.
Yeah, big thing for us is just passing the torch. Sometimes we try to go up there and do too much, swing out of our shoes. Our lineup did a great job just getting on base, getting hits, getting walks, even if it was reach on error, no matter what it was. We just did anything we could to get on base.
Thanks so much, Preston.
Yes, sir.
All right, that was Preston Ratliff, senior pitcher and first baseman, designated hitter. He flips the burgers in the seventh inning stretch. He does it all. But a humble guy, too. I mean, he's been around this program for a while. Didn't play a lot last year with a broken hamate bone, but he has come out this year and been a force. And he pointed out Bridley Thomas, and I'll comment on him. Bridley is in the national ranks of stolen bases. He came into Saturday's game second in the country in that regard. He had a big hit-by-pitch record last year, nearly took the NAIA record historically last year. But he's one of those guys where you love him if he's on your team, but you hate him if he's on the other team. It's almost like if you've ever watched WWE, he's definitely what you would regard as a heel when it comes to his presence on the field. But, hey, you love to have him. You hate to play him.
Yeah. Well, and just to hear this team making progress, I have a question to throw back at you now. With where this baseball team is record-wise through this, you know, first few weekends, is the record and the – I don't even want to use the word struggle, but the challenges, if you will, of the start of the season, is that because of the strength of schedule? Has it been because of the matchups? Because Middle Georgia at times has been pretty good. ABAC could end up being pretty good this year. What's your take on that?
I think it's a mix. I would say that Missouri Baptist is definitely good. I think that Kerry's hitting is starting to get that right formula together as certain people come back from injury, like DJ Booth, who we saw this weekend. And once they really get that formula tailored correctly, I think you're going to see some new pieces in different spots come this weekend, possibly. But I think once the hitting formula comes together, the pitching is also starting to come together. Now that they've got that third game somewhat figured out, I think they have a good way ahead of them. All right, out of time again on another edition of Crusader Talk. Thanks to Coach English for joining us earlier. For Dalton Stanford and Josh West, I'm Caleb Hamill. Good night, God bless, and go Saders.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.